Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You wake up in the morning and the first lady puts out a statement demanding you be fired from your job. We've all been there, right? You've been there, right, Guillermo?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
What a day.
We've all been there. So if you do not know this story, we'll go back to the beginning and give you some explanation. For context, the White House Correspondents Association dinner, historically, is a comedian roasting everybody, and particularly the president. And then the president, who is in attendance, roasts back. That's the way it has usually gone. It's generally some of the best comedy of the year, especially if you're a political nerd. So, you know, they actually call it Nerd Prom, is the affectionate title for the White House Correspondents Association dinner. And it's a lot of fun every year. Well, you know, there's been this off again relationship between President Trump and the press. And so he hasn't gone, hasn't participated. You know, it's kind of a bummer to not have the president there. So he was there, as I'm sure you all know, on Saturday for the first time in ever since a long time ago. In fact, there's some theory that, like, Obama, when he was president and made a joke about Trump, that was part of the prompt to make Trump want to run for office, like to get back. I mean, I think that's pretty thin, but, you know, that this is the depth of that dinner's effect on, you know, political culture. Anyway, so obviously Trump was there on Saturday, and instead of having a comedian, this is why Oz Perlman was there. Well, they say Oz. I've always heard it Oz.
Well, he said Oz.
I don't know.
When I've heard in the interview.
You know, people have been saying it. I've always heard it as Oz when it goes back to, like, him being on America's Got Talent.
Got Talent, yeah.
Now everybody's saying Oz, and I don't know if this is like Kiev, or Moskva, or Nicaragua. I guess I'll go with Oz. I don't care. It's the one I've known longer, so I'll stay with that. So Oz Perlman's there, the mentalist, you know, which means he predicts the future. Fallon had a pretty good joke. Or not Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel had a pretty good joke last night where he said, yeah, hey, he's in the middle of doing a gig about predicting, you know, the name of Carolyn Leavitt's baby, but he couldn't predict, you know, the shooting. It's a pretty good joke. All right, so you can joke now because nobody got, you know, seriously injured. So historically, that's the way it works. Well, when the announcement came out, or I mean, I think we knew this, but in any case, what Jimmy Kimmel decided to do on Thursday, 2 days before the dinner, is he did a fake roast as if he was emceeing the dinner, which he's, I think he's done before, actually. I think he was one of the comedians once upon a time. And in order to understand this whole story, you got to, you know, what do I always say? What's the key thing you got to do, John?
You've got to know the context.
You got to know the context. You always got to listen to the context. So let's go back in time to Thursday and listen to Jimmy Kimmel. I hate to have to do this to you early on a Tuesday, but here goes.
Welcome to the 2026 White House Correspondents Dinner. Look at you all dressed up in formal wear, dresses, tuxedos. I haven't seen this much black since every page of the Trump Epstein files. We're going to have fun tonight, and I'm happy you decided to stay, Mr. President. And don't worry, if we bruise your ego, it'll only make your hands look less disgusting.
So what he's doing is he's as if he were being the comedian, and then they're cutting in, the applause is all fake, and they're cutting to video of the president or Melania or Barron or Pete Hegseth or whomever, as if they're in the audience reacting to something, mashing together a fake White House Correspondents Association roast. Which is, I mean, you know, it's a clever enough idea. If it were funny, it'd be better. It wasn't particularly funny, unfortunately. Fortunately, I don't know which. You'll hear here as we play some of the clips. But again, I wanted you to get context, okay? Because without context, you're usually going to cherry pick something literally out of its context, which is not what you want.
Now, the president didn't want me to tell any jokes about him tonight, but he also didn't want to pay me $130,000 to shut up. So here we are. Sorry, mushroom.
That's on ABC. I mean, that's, they're putting that out on the air. Okay. And there's going to be a clip later. It's worse than that. But it's a Stormy Daniels joke. Okay. You know, wouldn't pay me to shut up. Wouldn't pay me hush money. That's okay. I know if you have to explain the joke, how good was it? Well, you know, okay.
By the way, in the unfortunate event that our president has a medical emergency tonight, do we have a doctor in the house? I mean, oh, I'm sorry. I mean, do we have a Jesus in the house? I always confuse them too. I get why you think you're Jesus. This guy, every time he walks into a room, people say, Christ, he's back. You're looking good though, Mr. President. Who did your makeup? Kraft Singles?
Yeah, so that's the preamble before you get to the joke that got him, well, Melania Trump has, and also the president, calling for him to be fired. So here's the one that caused the trouble. Remember, this is Thursday, 2 days before Saturday.
And of course, our First Lady Melania is here. Look at Melania, so beautiful. Mrs. Trump, you have a glow like an expectant widow. You know, Melania's birthday is on Sunday. That's right. She's planning to celebrate at home, the same way she always does, looking out a window and whispering, what have I done?
First of all, why are wife jokes allowed? I mean, what kind of a jerk makes wife jokes anyway? Don't you? I mean, they're ridiculous, right? Okay. Obviously, joking. I mean, I think joking about her, you know, wishing she weren't in her marriage is, you know, do you have some evidence of this, sir? I mean, it's just, anyway, that's inappropriate. Should it be him fired? Well, that's a different question. Okay. By the way, he goes, I'm going to come back. I just want you to, again, this is Thursday. And yes, we're passing over the key joke about her being an expectant widow.
As you're all aware, Melania is a movie star now. Her documentary had a score of 10% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is a website named after her husband's testicles. I want to congratulate you, Madam First
TV.
Lady, on your huge accomplishment, the world's first motionless picture. And that,
because Melania often looks fairly stoic. That's kind of the attempt at a joke there.
Before we go any further, Melania, this is Donald. Donald, this is Melania. That was my impression of Jeffrey Epstein. Pretty good, right?
And one more, just so you get not just the expectant widow joke, but the rest of the tone of all of this and how just disgusting Jimmy Kimmel has become. If you haven't watched his show in a while, and I don't watch it much, I record it every night in case there's something. Turns out there was something last night. Again, we'll get to all that in a second.
I do have an important announcement, and I'm sorry to say it's bad news. J.D. Vance is here. It's hard to get J.D. to come to an event like this. He's a real homebody. His wife had to peel him off the couch. Now, that reminds me, please do not get up from your seats during the performance because the vice president will them.
Now, that's the one where I put a louder, longer bleep in than they had originally because you could very clearly make out that he was saying you could have sex with the couch. Because there's a joke that somebody told about J.D. Vance doing that. And then that became repeated as a story online. I had not heard this either, if you hadn't heard this. That apparently Jimmy Kimmel thought was good enough to put in his fake White House Correspondents Association roast of J.D. Vance. A reference. I mean, just, like, this is just vulgar beyond belief. Okay, so, again, the key joke line was,
and of course, our First Lady Melania is here. Look at Melania, so beautiful. Mrs. Trump, you have a glow like an expectant widow.
And then he goes on to some of the other things where it's, you know, making fun of her, making fun of their marriage, doing all the things, which is, you know, disgusting in its own right. All right. So in retrospect, that looks pretty awful. Was it a joke about the president getting assassinated? Not likely. I mean, not likely, but you can't not hear it that way, looking backwards. And that sometimes is the problem of judging a joke historically based on subsequent events, right? If he had known that the president was going to get shot, well, not shot, if he knew a guy was going to bring a gun in, you know, okay, would he have told that joke? No, probably not. Of course, he's had to apologize for stuff like this before, right? Remember, he got put on hiatus not that long ago for jokes about Charlie Kirk. Remember? So this is familiar territory to Jimmy Kimmel. Well, yesterday you had Melania, First Lady Melania Trump, comes out with her post on Twitter, X, whatever. Kimmel's hateful and violent rhetoric is intended to divide our country. His monologue about my family isn't comedy. His words are corrosive and deepens the political sickness within America. People like Kimmel shouldn't have the opportunity to enter our homes each evening to spread hate, because the airwaves are a public trust and you have to demonstrate public value in order to retain the license for not the broad, not the distribution of content like ABC's Kimmel, but the end broadcaster, you know, WEAR in this case, right? The TV station is the one that uses the airwaves. And so TV stations or radio stations like ours, you know, have to serve a public purpose. And therefore, we, you know, we have to prove that basically in order to keep our licenses. So she says Kimmel shouldn't have the opportunity to enter our homes each evening and spread hate. A coward, Kimmel hides behind ABC because he knows the network will keep running cover to protect him. Enough is enough. It's time for ABC to take a stand. How many times will ABC's leadership enable Kimmel's atrocious behavior at the expense of our community? Now, she didn't specifically mention the, you know, expectant widow line. I think there's plenty of other parts in that that were just inappropriate. In the president also put out a Trump social, that's what I'm calling it now. Wow, Jimmy Kimmel, who is in no way funny, as attested to by his terrible television ratings, made a statement on his show that is really shocking. He showed a fake video of First Lady Melania and our son Barron, like they were actually sitting in his studio listening to him speak, which they weren't and never would be. He then stated, our First Lady Melania is here. Look at Melania, so beautiful, Mrs. Trump. You have a glow like an expectant widow. A day later, a lunatic tried entering the ballroom of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. It's 2 days later, but it doesn't matter. Loaded up with a shotgun, handgun, and many knives. He was there for a very obvious and sinister reason. I appreciate that so many people are incensed by Kimmel's despicable call to violence and normally would not be responsive to anything he said, but there is something far beyond the pale. This is something far beyond the pale. Jimmy Kimmel should be immediately fired by Disney and ABC. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. All right, and then the follow-up is, as I kind of hinted at earlier, last night, Jimmy Kimmel went on the air for his show, regular show.
Very nice.
Oh, sorry, I did that one already. That was the intro setup where he said, oh, hey, everybody wakes up to finding out the First Lady is trying to get him fired, right?
Every year they'd have a comedian roast the room, the president, the vice president, member.
I would actually need that. That's the part where he just explains the history of the event and how there was no comedian and he decided to stage the event as if it were him really doing it with cut-ins from the video.
And we made it seem like they were all together in a room. We had a little roast. Again, this was Thursday and there was no big reaction to it until this morning when I greeted the day facing yet another Twitter vomit storm. And a call to fire me from our First Lady, Melania Trump, saying I should be fired because of a joke I made, again, 5 nights ago.
Several jokes, honestly. But, okay, this is the key. Here you go. Listen, this is his, well, I don't know, in his own words, Jimmy Kimmel.
It was a pretend roast. I said, our First Lady, Melania, is here. Look at her, so beautiful. Mrs. Trump, you have a glow like an expectant widow, which obviously was a joke about their age difference and the look of joy we see on her face every time they're together. It was a very light roast joke about the fact that he's almost 80 and she's younger than I am. It was not by any stretch of the definition a call to assassination, and they know that. I've been very vocal for many years speaking out against gun violence in particular, but I understand that the First Lady had a stressful experience over the weekend, and probably every weekend is pretty stressful in that house. And also, I agree that hateful and violent rhetoric is something we should reject. I do, and I think a great place to start to dial that back would be to have a conversation with your husband about it, because
this is a fabulous example of what a Logic 101 or 102 course would teach you. It's called a straw man argument. Listen to what he said.
Obviously was a joke about their age difference and the look of joy we see on her face every time they're together. It was a very light roast joke about the fact that he's almost 80 and she's younger than I am. It was not by any stretch of the definition a call to assassination, and they know.
Nobody said that it was a call to assassination. What have they said? Well, what did Melania say? That he's somebody who should not be on TV because his words are corrosive and deepen the political sickness within America. She didn't say it was a call to assassinate. Nobody says that. What we would say, if you bother to take the concern seriously, is, you know, when somebody's had two assassination attempts and almost died by a bullet, You shouldn't be making President Death jokes, sir. Which, by the way, President Death jokes are as old as we've had presidents. You know, I remember, like, you know, the old, old jokes when, like, you know, we've got, Carter and Reagan are in a boat sinking at sea. Who gets saved? America! You know, like, that's an old joke. Okay? It's a presidential candidate and or president death joke. Okay? But it's an old joke. Presidential death jokes are old. But with a president who's been assassinated, attempted, almost assassinated one time and another time, you know, and this, I can't blame him for the White House Correspondents Association dinner, but there's a reason you don't make president death jokes like this. Because in this case, it's real. Oh, well, I was only talking about their age. I don't know how I would have interpreted that joke on Thursday if I'd have heard it on Thursday and not known the event subsequent. It's a terrible joke. It's not a joke you should make. Should it lose you your job? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. And here's why. Because I'm a pretty big believer in the First Amendment. And if people think a thing is funny, then you let them think it's funny. And if people think a thing is not funny, then guess what? People don't watch. Ratings go down. Advertisers pull. You make a financial decision, which, you know, Kimmel's going to go away anyway, right? At least we certainly hope so. You know, Colbert's going away. Why? Because it's not working. So his defense of this is, I've always stood against political violence. Well, you know, that's not the point. The point is, what's the context? What are you doing for the community, for the culture? What are you doing for politics? That's why I played you the other clips, because all of the ridiculous, savage, sexual, personal, relational stuff is part of the demonization of President Trump, which, again, you know, President Trump has demonized a lot of people. Does that make it fair to do it back? Well, two wrongs don't make a right. So is that helpful? Now, if you want to make the case, and I think you have a much better case to make, that he's so bad for the American political culture that maybe the FCC shouldn't put that on broadcast TV. I mean, you can get it on YouTube easy and worse, on cable and satellite worse. There's kind of an interesting argument to be had there. For me personally, though, no, I don't think somebody should be fired over this. But then again, it's pretty hard to find the line I think you'd cross and deserve to get fired. As a public commentator about politics, which is the core of the First Amendment. 527 on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
This is the story of the one. As a procurement manager for a hospital system, she keeps every facility in her network stocked and ready. That's why she counts on Grainger to be her single source for thousands of products, from disinfectants to lighting, air filters, and more. And with fast, dependable delivery, Grainger helps her keep every facility stocked, safe, and running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Why'd I go to the doctor? Working on the farm, my heart kept skipping a beat. I didn't think much of it, but my daughters made me get checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Let the tuning commence.
Don't give up when your heart is weary. Don't give up when your eyes are teary. Don't give up when your voice is trembling. When your life needs mending. Don't give up.
Such a great song. And by the way, if we ever did discover suddenly that the Dark City people were actually reshaping our world every night, and that's why it's as crazy as it is, I don't really think you'd be all that surprised you know, certain science fiction movie or horror movie scenarios, they just start to seem a little bit more plausible after we've lived in them for a little while. 529 or 530 here on News Radio 92.3. We've got the map has been delivered by DeSantis to the legislature that would redraw congressional districts in our state, favoring Republicans in net probably about four seats. There's going to be a special session. You know, Don Gates is going to look at, he's a person, senator. They're going to look, he said yesterday, I'm going to look at it. We owe it to the governor and to the maps to study them seriously. It'll probably be litigated no matter what they do. The real issue, of course, is what's going on nationally with the push in both directions to bias the maps in favor of certain parties. And it's a long story. We'll talk about it a little later.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The criminal proceedings for the California engineer and teacher and accused White House Correspondents' Dinner shooter are just beginning. Fox's Alex Hogan has more in his initial court appearance.
31-year-old Cole Allen faces new federal charges, although law enforcement says that there could be even more charges as the investigation continues. He faces one count of attempting to assassinate the president of the United States, one count of transporting a firearm across state lines, and discharging a firearm during a crime of violence.
The world waiting for President Trump to respond to the new proposal from Iran, but a U.S. official says the president is not happy with it. Meanwhile, AAA reports the average price for a gallon of regular gas spiking 6 cents overnight, landing at $4.17 a gallon. And the U.S. Navy intercepts another tanker, this one steaming toward a port in Iran, that from U.S. Central Command. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got 70 degrees with clear skies here across the area. We'll get a full look at our forecast from Channel 3. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, Keela Richardson is now in the American Idol top five after a strong performance last night. This week was Taylor Swift week. Richardson sang Taylor Swift's Lover. And she followed that up with Etta James' I'd Rather Go Blind, earning an overwhelming vote from America to continue. She'll compete for a top three spot next week. Some surfers on Pensacola Beach say they've been noticing a greasy film on their skin after going in the water, and they believe that may be connected to the ongoing beach renourishment project. Pensacola Beach Fishing Pier Management says the slick feeling is likely algae and sediment stirred up from the ocean floor by dredging, not any type of equipment leak. They do say that fishermen have also noticed fewer fish at the pier due to vibrations from the dredging pipe. The Santa Rosa Island Authority says the contractor submits water quality reports regularly to the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. The dredging project is expected to wrap up early next month. Escambia County deputies have located a 3-year-old boy who was taken from West Florida Hospital before he could receive treatment for life-threatening injuries. Deputies say 33-year-old Denisha Blunt brought the child to the hospital with severe head and facial injuries consistent with abuse before fleeing with him when the hospital staff began investigating. The child has since received the needed medical care. Blunt's been the child's foster caregiver since January. An investigation is ongoing. Charges are expected in that incident. Pensacola police are asking for the public's help in identifying a person of interest in Sunday morning shooting on North 17th Avenue. The suspect is described as a Hispanic male in his early to mid-20s, 5'10" to 6 feet tall, and last seen wearing a red shirt, blue jeans, and black shoes. If you have any information, contact the Pensacola Police Department, or you can call Crime Stoppers if you'd like to stay anonymous. A Gulf Breeze man is facing kidnapping charges in both Alabama and Florida after allegedly forcing a 71-year-old acquaintance to travel with him from Gulf Breeze to Foley against his will. Foley police arrested 42-year-old Grant Barrett Friday afternoon after locating him and the unharmed victim. Barrett is charged with second-degree kidnapping, marijuana possession, and criminal mischief. The Santa Rosa Major Crimes Unit is coordinating with Foley detectives, and additional charges are pending in Florida. Barrett is currently being held without bond. 534 here at News Radio, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast from meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have mostly sunny skies today with a high near 83 degrees, 20% chance of rain today. Overnight, temperatures dropping near 71. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies with a 20% chance of rain, high near 84. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 69. Keeping a small 20% chance of rain on that Thursday with a high near 79 degrees, and Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 65. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
We've got clear skies, 71 degrees. Your next news at 6, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
With your money now. The 9-person jury has been seated in the high-stakes legal battle between longtime friends turned rivals, Elon Musk and Sam Altman, at a federal courthouse in California. Elon Musk's lawyer said in January that their client should receive up to $134 billion in, quote, wrongful gains at OpenAI. The trial lands as Musk prepares to take SpaceX public and as OpenAI gears up for its own expected public offering. Novartis's CEO is warning that the drug pricing policy under President Trump poses a very difficult situation, and the reality will soon catch up with both drug makers and patients. Vas Narasimhan told CNBC, quote, the longer-term implications are significant. Big tech companies like Meta, Google, and OpenAI are increasingly seeing top researchers depart to launch their own AI ventures. CNBC reports many are raising huge sums within months of setting up startups, as investors bet big on novel approaches to model architecture. Futures are currently mixed. That's your money now.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Spring shows up quietly around here. A little more daylight. Warmer afternoons. A lot going on locally. News Radio 92.3 keeps you connected to it all, with the stories, updates, and conversations that shape your day.
Stay informed. Staying connected.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
New season, same trusted source.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Okay, it's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, as he does every Monday at about this time, Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Obviously, we'll talk about the incident in D.C. specifically because you worked protective detail for Trump, for Reagan, back when you were in the Air Force. But before we get to that, we had a horrible tragedy took place in Milton, rural Milton, over the weekend with a terrible traffic crash, right?
Yeah, it was pretty horrific. Two people got ejected from the vehicle and died pretty much on scene. And, you know, our deputies are first ones to get there, and then we call FHP, and they get there and investigate the accident. But, you know, getting ejected nowadays, it's terrible. I mean, you got to wear your seatbelts. I mean, you really do, and you need to instill that in your children as well as they're growing up, that you just, you know, if the vehicle's moving, the seatbelt's on.
Do you happen to know in this case, because it was a pickup truck, is my understanding, do we know whether they were sitting, you know, like in the cab, in the back, in the truck bed? Yeah. I mean, obviously there are, you know, different levels of safety involved in that, but do we even know?
No, I was not told where they were at in the vehicle, just that they got ejected. Okay. And, you know, and if being a pickup truck, yeah, you don't ride in the back of a pickup truck. I mean, if you're going from one part of your land to another, you know, and you got the kids in the back and you know you're not going to get over 5 miles an hour or whatever, that's one thing. But being on an actual roadway with other drivers and stuff, you can't have kids in the back. I mean, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, just a horrible, horrible incident. And, you know, like you said, I always think it's odd because to me, I can't get in a car and not put a seatbelt on. I mean, always. To me, it's so habitual. Yeah. I've been doing it for 40 years almost. And it's, you know, it's impossible not to. But that's the kind of habit that, you know, you have to form. And I know not everybody does. And, you know, sometimes that has catastrophic consequences. There was another one in Santa Rosa not that long ago, where it was this teenage driver kind of blew through the stop sign in a semi-rural residential area and, you know, wound up killing somebody driving an SUV, and a child. It wasn't wearing a seatbelt, you know?
Yeah. And it's nowadays, you know, with all the safety features in the vehicles and stuff and the reminders, that bell going off, you know, I mean, there's really no excuse not to have a seatbelt on nowadays.
Absolutely. I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about the, obviously, the, you know, what took place in Washington, D.C., which, thank God, obviously the president and no members of the media, no leadership in, you know, the government were injured. Even the only person who seems to have been injured was a Secret Service officer who was shot, but thank God was wearing a vest. I want to play comments from Jeff Carroll, who is the interim D.C. chief for D.C. Metro, and then Sean Curran, who is a Secret Service director. I just want to get your reaction to this.
But at this point, it does appear he is a lone actor, a lone gunman. There does not appear to be any sort of danger to the public at this time. This is a very preliminary investigation at this point. We do know that law enforcement exchanged gunfire with the individual. We do know that a U.S. Secret Service uniform division officer was struck in his vest. He was transported to a local hospital for treatment. He seems to be in good spirits at this time. The suspect in this case, he was not struck by gunfire. However, he was transported to a local hospital to be evaluated.
Tonight, we saw exactly what our brave men and women do each and every day to protect our protectees. It's not easy, and I will tell you that they performed admirably.
Okay, Sheriff.
that's a weird scenario. Number one, thank God the guy was wearing a vest. He caught the bullet in the vest. That's a good thing. But how this guy doesn't get struck by gunfire when you have like 20 Secret Service people there, he should be dead. So I don't know what transpired after the initial shot, the officer got shot, but I don't know how he wasn't killed. So I don't know the whole story. But everybody's saying the Secret Service, you know, dropped the ball or whatever. That was an outer perimeter thing, and this guy was staying at the hotel, so he had access to the hotel, but the outer perimeter caught it. It wasn't like he got into the ballroom, you know, where everybody was at. So they did their job. I just, like I said, I don't understand how they didn't kill him, but I guess that'll come out later.
Well, and see, that's why I wanted to talk to you, because, you know, a lot of what I know or believe about these sorts of incidents is from you, because you used to work detail for Reagan. And I totally agree with you that this was not a failure. He did not get inside the ballroom. The president's life was never in danger. You know, they barely penetrated the outer perimeter, the weakest layer of defense, in a situation where it's hard to really harden it. And he was inside the hotel as a guest. So no problem with all of that. The part that I was befuddled by was the same part you just said. I've seen the video. These Secret Service agents, I mean, they were maybe not the most attentive after they had processed the bulk of people, probably, and they didn't figure anybody else was coming. That was not great. But then they draw their weapons and they fire, and the group of them can't manage to hit one guy. I mean, I know a running target at a distance. Okay, fine. But your job is to be good at this, and this is not the first time the Secret Service has failed to be good marksmen.
Yeah. and which is pretty scary because back in the day, and of course, this is 82 to 86 when I was in the Air Force with Secret Service, we assisted them a lot. And, you know, they had marksmen back then. I don't know what's going on with training now, but back then they could, they were the best marksmen I'd ever seen because we'd shoot with them on the range and stuff, and they were incredible. But also, you, even great marksmen, when bullets are flying towards you, well, sometimes, you know, the best marksmen aren't the best marksmen under that kind of pressure. So it all depends on what's going on around you. But still, yeah, I agree. I mean, that guy should have been dumped right there. And I guess we'll find out later why he wasn't. But that was just amazing to me.
Yeah, the whole thing was baffling. You know, how he was able to run through and get through, how he was able to not get struck by several agents firing at him. And then how the resolution to all this is that the dudes down the hall or whatever managed to tackle him, you know, instead of shooting him, which why is your first response to a guy with a shotgun and a gun just, and he's running and he's clearly breached the perimeter and people are yelling and screaming and there's bullets and you're tackling a dude? Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's a weird, Sheriff, you know, any other thoughts you had about this? I mean, I thought it was a success. I think the idea that they have to do something dramatically different to protect the president, probably not. Although maybe range time, you know, might be useful.
Yeah. Yeah. Range time and shooting under pressure, you know, time shooting, things like that. And, you know, back in the day, as I said before, they did all that time shooting and, you know, yelling at you things. They put things on the range to distract you while you're trying to fire, move and shoot and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know what kind of training they're having now, but it ain't working.
You know, and the other, I was oddly a little disappointed in some of the interior defenses, you know, agents all throughout the room, plainclothes agents, the ballistic shields that have been now disclosed were kind of underneath the table that, you know, I felt like, you know, we don't need to know all that. We don't need to tell people what you know, this guy didn't get past the outer layer, not really. And here we are telling people what our tactics are inside the room that he didn't even get into. Like, just shh. You don't need to tell anybody.
Yeah, but apparently they feel the need. And I don't understand. There's a lot of things going on up there I don't understand. But it is what it is, yes.
Any other thoughts that I want to not let this go without having you a chance to say anything, but anything else you observed or anything else you think people ought to know or, you know, just in general about, you know, keeping people secure? You know, the president's, his comments were basically, look, this is not new. This has gone on for a long time. It's relatively unique for this president compared to others. But I mean, your protectee, you know, was also, of course, shot at that, that hotel, you know, not under your watch, but, you know, right. I mean, that's, you have a pretty good connection to all of this.
Yeah, and all I can say is, you know, this EDS is real. I mean, it obviously it's real. There are people who want to kill him just because of who he is, and it amazes me. It really does that the Secret Service isn't stepping up their protection a little bit better. But like I said, we'll find out why he didn't get dumped later on, I guess.
What do you make of? I was dumbfounded, honestly. I mean, I guess I'm too naive about where I set the bar for my expectations for people, but I was completely unprepared for the number of anti-Trump people on social media, not just theorizing that maybe this was a fabricated incident or some kind of false flag, but they literally are so convinced it was that they think you're stupid if you thought this actually happened. Even the MS Now hosts had to basically say, what's wrong with you people? You know, like the level of derangement among some of his critics is just baffling to me.
Oh yeah. And it only seems to be getting worse, which is amazing to me that, you know, you've got these people out there that start
We lost you a little bit on the cell phone there. Oh. I don't know if you're in Jay or anything, but that's what we're going to say. What'd you say, Sheriff?
No, I said that the amount of people who hate Donald Trump is incredible. And don't get me wrong, you know, I didn't like Obama and I didn't like Clinton, and you know, but I never would I espouse some of the things these people are saying and doing in the United States. It's just, to me, it's incredible. It blows my mind every time something comes up. You're like, again, really?
It's
nuts.
And I totally agree. The level of criticism of, I mean, it's an American thing, you know, to hate our leaders and to criticize them and to make fun of them and to be savage about it. True.
Yeah.
But there is a whole other level with Trump, and there is a whole other level of denial for responsibility for it by, in my opinion, my industry that has fostered the environment and done nothing to combat it. And, you know, you're getting the results, whether it's impeachments or assassination attempts, and you're acting like you're not to blame at all. It's just, you know. Anyway. Sheriff, as always, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for spending time with us. I appreciate it. I certainly appreciate your service back in the day and now as well. Sheriff Johnson, we'll talk to you again next week, sir.
All right. Take care, Andrew.
Absolutely. 550 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are looking for that next vehicle, or if you're not quite yet looking, and I say that because if you're like me, and maybe you're not, I'm weird, I know it, but if you're like me, John, stop nodding so vehemently. John's like, oh, yeah, definitely weird. Mm-hmm. It's not a mystery. Anyway, no need to pile on. Anyway, what I do is I pretend I don't need a new car because I don't want to go looking. You know, and the process of dealing with the people at the car place, worst ever. You know, like, it just, there's nothing about it's going to cost me money. It's going to be time consuming. I'm going to get a lot of disappointment. And you know, so that's why I put it off, you know. Like a good procrastinator, I put off, you know, unpleasant decisions. Well, you know you need a new car, right? Probably, you know, when I'm saying all this, you're like, yeah, that's me. That's where I'm at. Okay, go to Frontier. Go to Frontier and say, I hate car places, but I'm here anyway. Andrew McKay says you're different. And they'll be like, cool, look around. If you need me, I'll be over there. You know, like, they'll let you look, and you look at their 300 different cars on the lot. And if you want to look at a price, if you want to test drive, if you want to test drive five, you know, whatever. They'll just make it easy for you. And there's so much variety all in one place that you won't have to go all around town to try to, you know, schedule and meet four different people and be rude to all of them. You can just be rude to one person if you need to. But go and look. Be an adult. You know you need to make a decision. You need to do something. And you deserve a car that you're going to enjoy. Go find it at Frontier Motors. And if they don't have exactly what you want, send them looking. They go looking for people for cars all the time. Frontier Motors serving the Pensacola community more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
In the time it takes to watch one episode of your favorite show, you could be approved for your auto loan. While your dinner's in the oven, you could be comparing rates. By the time your morning coffee is brewed, those keys to your new car could practically be in your hand. PennAir Credit Union doesn't just process auto loans. We beam you straight into the driver's seat. Fast approvals, low rates, and easy financing. Apply now at PennAir.org/autoloans. Federally insured by NCUA.
News Radio 92.3 congratulates Andrew McKay on being the only broadcaster to make Florida's 50 over 50 list for 2026. For more than a decade, Andrew has kept Escambia and Santa Rosa counties informed, covering local meetings, interviewing officials, and breaking down big stories that matter. He takes pride in keeping the community informed and making sense of the headlines that shape our daily lives. It's a well-earned honor for a voice our community trusts every morning. Congratulations, Andrew, from News Radio 92.3.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us today at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
There you have it.
I don't know why this follow us.
As I told you, it would be absolutely, totally, and in all other ways, inconceivable.
There was a girl, and I don't know her name either. She gave me love, and I said I'd never leave her. If I did, I'd come back someday and find her. Maybe I will. I should write down a ring. One day, who knows? Someday, someday I'll survive.
we had to have is actually programmers come in, change our record system so that we can hopefully very soon put out a new forward-facing public safety dashboard so that people can actually see and compare what's the crime like in the city of Pensacola with other jurisdictions of similar size.
Pensacola Police Chief Eric Winstrom there talking to Channel 3 yesterday about bringing to Pensacola something that's in Grand Rapids, which is a crime data resource so you can see what's going on. I mean, I believe in that idea. I think it's a good idea. The theory is that then you can decide for yourself where things are safe and where they're not safe and all that, which is, that's useful, as a citizen. That's the kind of thing that you, and also compare us to other municipalities. I mentioned earlier that we're in the middle of the redistricting right now, and that Don Gates had said to Channel 3 that he owes it to the process to look at the map and not give a off-the-cuff reaction to it. This is the map that would likely redraw Florida's districts so that you had four fewer Democrats or four more Republicans, depending on how you want to count that. And there's a lot to be said about this, but this is what Don Gates said yesterday, Senator Gates.
My job is not to draw distinctions or draw inferences from the map as far as what I like and what I don't like. My job is to make sure that the governor's proposal is respectfully and thoughtfully considered by the legislature.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's an answer I like to hear from Don Gates. And there's been a lot of caution about endorsing this so far from Republicans. Here's some of the issues. First of all, Florida actually passed in 2010 an amendment to the Constitution that prohibits the drawing of maps in favor of political party or incumbent, both for Congress and for state legislative districts. It's literally unconstitutional in Florida to draw a map for the purpose of benefiting the Democrats or the Republicans or somebody who's in office, right? That's actually unconstitutional in Florida because our Florida Constitution is different from the federal. That is not unconstitutional federally. In fact, one of the acknowledgments during the Supreme Court case over redistricting not that long ago, this was, I think, the Alabama case, was that it's perfectly allowed for states to use the maps to draw for gerrymandering purposes, for the purpose of political advantage. I think it's abhorrent and disgusting. I think you should be trying to draw a fair map, but, it is allowed under the federal Constitution. Now, what's currently up for debate, and there's a lot of wrinkles to this story, but one is whether or not you can account for race at all. Now, the Florida Constitution makes it illegal to work against a certain racial group with your maps. You can't deliberately draw it so that it adversely affects black voters. You cannot try to disenfranchise them through the map drawing. It doesn't say you can't draw it to favor them or make sure they have it, and that's kind of a little bit of the open question because there's the Supreme Court, we're waiting on the Supreme Court to rule on exactly what the Voting Rights Act does and to what degree you can or cannot at all consider race. See, one line of thinking is that you must account for race to make sure that you don't bias against race. Another is that you cannot look at race. And that is the way you make sure you don't bias against race. And it really kind of can't be both because you can't both look at race and not look at race. It's kind of one or the other. So you also have the issue with the Florida map of historically districts had been drawn very clearly to make it so that black people had representatives. And that's why you had some of these super squirrely looking districts because they were deliberately trying to draw it so that we wouldn't just get, all white people in Congress, basically. And that was thought to be a good thing, and that was part of the problem, is that that's a racial bias. You're drawing the maps to favor black people. Well, okay, the Alabama case had more about drawing maps to avoid letting black people in. They're slightly different, but the difference is important. You also have the issue of, whether people who vote, for example, Democrat, live in areas that are geographically spread out enough for them to properly dominate more than one congressional district, or whether they really live in a fairly compact area. And if you look at a map of Florida, the map that DeSantis has proposed, I think, is at least somewhat more aggressive than the general map of Florida that would show you where people live, but not by a lot. You basically have Democrat domination in Florida in Tallahassee, but there's no congressional district that's going to allow that to show. Okay, now, Tampa, Orlando, and then in the southeast, like Miami, Fort Lauderdale, that vicinity. They're not spread out. Democrat voters are not spread out around the state in enough concentration to tip the 51% to win any reasonably drawn congressional district except for Orlando, Tampa, Fort Lauderdale. And so when you see the map that's come out from DeSantis, and maybe you could argue Tallahassee, but the population doesn't justify that map. So there's going to be a big discussion about, was this drawn for political purpose? That's what Democrats will say. Is it allowed to ignore race? Does it talk about race? Again, those are the issues, and I have no idea what the legislature or the courts are going to do.
Stream us at News Radio.